relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight on the program, alternative sexuality. The night we explore different ways people express their passion for sex. It's a regular feature here on Passion with my wonderful panelists, my friends, my BDSM experts, Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So how did, Pierre and Catherine were also at our big party, and I know that
there
were
a lot of people
were asking to speak with you that night, I think, right?
we never
came up to me. It was like, where are they? Where's the BDSM couple?
it's an experience. Just that is an experience by itself. It's weird because you're... Okay, we listen to you all the time. Okay, who are you?
Well, they put the they want to put the face to the voice.
It's crazy because you don't know if they're player or just interested or just
have questions.
Have questions,
right?
It's amazing. I loved it. What do you do the next one?
The next 16 years.
I met some really neat people.
Yeah, there's all kinds in this world, and that's the beauty of being out in the public is you meet different kinds of people. Yeah. So many, all ages came by. We had listeners that were single, that were married. We had couples. We had
it was surprising
anybody.
To see that many different type of people, like you said, age and gender. Mm-hmm. And so it was actually quite interesting.
Well, we actually had a variety of people come up and tell us the different fetishes that they have.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We had.
They only did that to you because they didn't do that to me.
No, well, hey, you know,
well, you're the doctor,
say.
You know.
You have a... There was one that wanted to be feminized.
Okay.
There was one that had a smoking fetish.
What's a smoking fetish?
Well, it can take different forms. Basically, they find it really erotic for women smoking.
A woman with cigarette or something.
It could
be. I never thought of that as being fetishized, actually.
Think about what the mouth is doing and there's a whole thing with that. And
you would be surprised what fetish could be sometime. Even us, we're surprised. We're going, really?
Really? What are some of the... tonight we are talking... We talk about fetishes. We talk about all kinds of other sexual behaviors and stuff. But what's the most surprising thing you've heard, Pierre? The smoking one is not one that I would have thought as a fetishized thing. But what... I mean, I know there are fetishes for just about gets turned on by something. You know,
we're not surprised that's actually
there's one that
are
I
you found cutting off your husband?
Me. Well, yeah, because this is a neat one.
go. We have fun with this.
I'm gonna have to couple counseling here.
That's
I think
it. You know the skateboard running shoes.
No,
but like the ankle ones, kind of. They come up like high, like up
like
to your ankle.
Like high tops, yeah.
Yeah, like high top
running shoes, yeah.
But women in them, that's a fetish.
Really?
That one kind of surprised me.
What do they call them? What does
well,
that call?
Well, he really liked those shoes. Okay. But he liked the ones that were actually not really the high top one. They looked like high tops, but they were specifically for like skateboarding.
I've never even seen those, but okay.
Actually, in some movie, in some porno movie, they have these girls doing some sexual act and wearing skates.
Like skates? Roller skates?
Roller skates. From the 80s, you see a couple of movies like this.
Really?
And it seems they had an audience or a market. I don't know.
They certainly had a market. Yeah.
It's strange.
Well, now we know because now whatever fetish you have, you can Google and you see how many people, you see the market for it, right? So you see how many people are actually into the same thing. There was a time, I remember years ago having like a diaper fetishist in my office. I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm just going to say.
It was not me.
Wow, she's really sharing tonight.
Not me.
No.
But over the years, several people have come to me with that fetish. And they thought they were completely alone. But this pre-internet, right? They had never met anybody. They had never talked to anybody.
This is normal. Our generation, when we, like 15 years ago, when we started to be public, really, we would meet people. And this is what they would tell us. Oh, I thought I was the only one like this, or I thought
I was
crazy.
It's like self-bondage.
A lot of people do self-bondage.
A lot.
Okay, whoa, time out. Explain. Self-bondage, go.
They will tie themselves up in various ways or lock themselves in, often on a timer, some safety thing, a candle that has to burn to a thing that's often quite dangerous. And they find that erotic.
Watching TV, but with handcuff or something like this. They like the feeling.
So they do this to themselves. They're not...
Door closed.
Do you think they do it to themselves because they don't haven't met anybody to do it to them? Or that's the arousing part?
Usually because they don't know somebody to do it to them.
Or they've never shared it with anybody.
And for them, it's something secret. So they're kind of ashamed to go out and say, oh, yeah, I like to be tied. Can you do something? You know, they do it themselves because they want to keep this secret. You know, it's their secret garden.
Yeah, there are some people who are actually, you know, no, I'm into self-bondage and that's, you know, the thing. But I'd say the vast majority, it's like a stepping stone.
How common is, you're talking about self-bondage stuff, but how common is it for somebody to constrict their genitals? Oh. To bondage their genitals?
A lot of people try.
A lot.
Is that very common?
They go by this and they discover that often they discover they want either to be submissive because they like the feeling, or they try it and say, no, it's not for me, but I want to do it to somebody else.
But couldn't it be dangerous, like to take a rope and tie your genitals?
Well, no.
Can't you turn off the blood supply then?
Now we're going into safety. There's ways to do it.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my... it's called CBT. It's not cognitive behavioral therapy. It's called... The slang for it would be cock and ball torture.
Okay.
Right? Or CBT. That's not only what it's called. And there are leather straps and things. I almost brought one of them in the show and tell today.
Oh, yeah. I should mention, Catherine and Pierre brought me in some show and tell things and assured me they've all been washed.
Everything is washed. It's a matter of principle.
Well, two are steel, so they've been sterilized.
Right.
Anyways, goodness. Now what was I saying? Yes, for the CBT, there's ones that are actually made to fit, and there's like a series of straps and buckles and things. You could go down at Pre-App is going to have some, I would imagine.
Pre-App, they have,
that's a store, right?
In the village. Yes, in the village. It's a lovely, lovely store.
They have
store.
Amazing
they
stuff.
Have yeah.
I know that they're very well known for their fetish
gear. You should
gear,
go one
and
day.
And it's quality, too.
Yep.
Okay, lots of leather.
And
people
you know that nobody's
there.
Paid me to say this either.
Right. No. Okay. Nobody's paying. Let me just open the phone lines. If anybody has questions about BDSM, kink, specific toys that not your average sex toy like dildo or whatever, but specific toys to bondage and things like this. Pierre and Catherine can certainly answer those questions. 514-800.
If we know the answer, it will be our pleasure. And I'm sorry, I just cut
you off.
Absolutely,
no. You're allowed. 514-790-0800. What do you want to say?
There is, for dildos, you can get the ones that are remote control.
So
that can be like a whole domination thing.
And those are kind of average now. They sell those all over the place.
Yeah, but it depends on the way you use them.
That's true. Yeah. Makes a dinner out with friends much more interesting.
The last time a friend of ours that is in the scene, well, his wife was wearing one, if I can describe it like this. Mm-hmm. And he would share the remote control to everybody. So,
are you serious?
And it was really neat because... This one has where it actually vibrates in your hand, and the way you turn it in your hand is what it's doing.
Oh, really?
So people could pass it around the table.
And, there's a whole other meaning to group sex right there. Wow.
And she was all red and
very comfortable. I would think she would be all red and maybe
were
a
having
little
a blast.
Embarrassed. Oh, that's too funny. That's another form of group sex right there. Alternative sexuality tonight. So yes, you will hear things you may never hear anywhere else, but that's okay because we are trying to educate and expose people to things that they wouldn't normally have access to. So why not?
That really,
yeah, I know. It's not exactly the choice of words I would want, but it's all I could come up with for right now. More alternative sex coming up next here on Passion.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sex here on Passion. Tonight, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com are here. I believe last weekend was fetish weekend, and maybe we have a whole fetish week this week, so it's quite timely, I think it's a whole week, yeah. How do you not know? Seriously, Catherine.
You know what?
Mistress Catherine, seriously.
We
I often don't go to those things.
We don't go because we work.
I know, you're always busy working.
And you know, we only have so much time to do
our stuff.
That kind of fun stuff. Right. So
it's like a hobby, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So if I'm going to actually devote time to it, I'd rather be doing
the stuff you want to do.
The actual things that I want to do as opposed to going out to bars and parties.
And
with
I think
other
that's
people.
What they do, right? Like during fetish week, that's yeah, exactly what I think it is. Pretty a bunch much. Of parties and people get to see each other.
Exactly.
There's workshop and stuff, which would be interesting, but we work. We cannot go.
Workshops. Yeah. You've done the workshops. You do them yourself.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, these things you're going to learn from.
You never know. You always learn something. You might get something. But yeah, I usually don't.
Talk to you sometime in the break, and we always learn something when we're talking to you.
It's so much more fun to go to, our friend's private dungeons than our own. To be perfectly honest.
Who could say that? Gee, my friend's private dungeon.
We do say that.
So I know you say that. Well, I'm just thinking, it's not anything that would come out of in my circles. You might be surprised. I don't think I would be surprised if somebody said to me, I visit a dungeon or I'd like to see a dungeon. I just have not seen any dungeons in my circle, in the circle of people I know. Not that they wouldn't go.
Not that they don't have a rip cellar somewhere or an attic or portable things they pull on out. Yeah. I'll tell you, a lot of people have furniture and stuff that converts. So it looks like a regular coffee table. It looks like a regular bed. But, unhook this there and unscrew this.
But I have
and
to
suddenly
tell you,
you've got,
I've talked to people in my, my circle. And when you talk to them, sometimes you find out late that they explore this world much later in life. And it's interesting because by looking at somebody, you would never know that they do any of this other stuff.
We are the perfect example for that.
Yeah, you are.
When we did kink, if you look at everybody that was on the show, everybody had something special, tattoos or piercing, or they were, and then we were coming on and it's like, I look like an average Joe, except my wife who's clearly beautiful and
loves Mickey Mouse. No tattoos, but Mickey Mouse,
Yeah.
Always wears a Mickey Mouse shirt.
But that's the whole thing is you don't have to look a way or there's not a rule that says you have to look a certain way to do these things.
Well, I look different, in the dungeon.
Well, when you're dressed up.
When I'm dressed up.
It's like Halloween.
It's not like Halloween.
It's like dressing. It's like putting on lingerie.
Right.
More than
dressing
Halloween.
Up for something.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
For the occasion.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
What do you wear, Pierre? I can imagine what she wears in lingerie, but what do
guys
usually
wear? Leathers or...
leather pants or...
Pants. It depends on what I do and what... I ask my submissive to do.
Sometimes what?
Sometimes he's got some latex.
I used to have some latex, but now it's...
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes I wear nothing. It depends on what we do. And here, we have to stop.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no more details. 514-800 if you have questions for Pierre and Catherine, I'm sure, or even comments. And I know for some people hearing this, it's like... And then, they kind of may be taken aback or may think this is way off. And then for others, they practice this on a regular basis.
Yeah,
so.
And if the listener is surprised to hear things like this, well, he's probably got somebody around him or her doing these type of things. So,
You know what? Nobody starts off with a dungeon.
Right.
You start off and you go to the dollar store and you buy a leash. Mm-hmm. And you start off and you buy a little something there. You buy a little...
collar.
A collar, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or a little cutting board thing that's a paddle. you know, or things like that.
You improvise is what you're saying.
Yep. You do. You start right. off. You know, there's the hairbrush, the wooden spoon. You know, that's...
It's part those of the
are,
fun.
Those are, ouch, you know, ouch. Spatulas, uh-huh. right? Things like that. I mean, that's what people use.
Sure, those are for all the ouchies.
Yes. But there's also Velcro.
Mm-hmm. For, Velcro? What do you do with Velcro?
Well, for Velcro, like Velcro strips with...
You do a cuff or something
for
like
cuffs
this.
Cuffs and for because bondage.
Some people are afraid, okay. you know, to have something that is too big or too too serious.
It's,
so they,
yeah, it's going to... if you put like a Velcro little band with two... A little... Oh, I'm really doing well, aren't I?
I know, you're trying to describe
and
something on radio.
And I'm showing with my hands,
yeah,
too.
You're really
that's
good
really
at that.
Helpful.
But,
okay, let me help here. Okay, you go. Do a cuff using Velcro. So if something happened, you can easily open the cuff with either your mouth or something like this. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's they're comfortable
they're
to do it like this.
So they're more comfortable than if they have a lock or something like yeah. that. Or
for
if it's
us,
tied.
For instance, some of our cuff, we put padlocks on them and chains. That's something yeah. much heavier, much you know further. So
yes. you know you're in there then. Whereas
Velcro, you can get out.
Whereas yeah. Actually, Velcro's really hard to pull out of.
Really?
Well, with yeah. your mouth, if you do it carefully.
It's, yeah. So you can actually tie something up with Velcro pretty well, but they have a more safe feeling. Mm-hmm. So you know, if you get someone who's it's like they're newer to start off with, right? Velcro works just fine.
I think it's important in all of this, like people are experimenting and they are getting props here and there, but I always worry about the safety. You know, I always worry about getting into a situation
exactly.
that's really difficult to get out of or
you should be aware.
Or panic.
Well, no, panic is something you cannot do. Okay. For instance, if you want to experiment with rope, for instance, it's a trick. Take a very big rope. So if you do a knot, you can undo it with your mouth.
Okay.
But if you take a very small rope.
Like a little thin thing?
And yeah.
thin ones,
thing.
Don't ever use a thin rope because it's going to cut in.
Cut in
right?
and you won't never
if
be able
rope
to undo
this, like,
the knot.
Yeah. Well, then you need scissors and that's
yeah,
not
so
fun.
This is why you take a big rope. It's a trick.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll learn more of these tricks coming up. We're talking about props tonight and things and how to make sure you stay safe with the props that you use. And then we'll talk about some of the props you brought here because I have no clue, except for the whip. I have no clue what this other stuff is.
Well, it's a special whip.
We'll talk about this coming up next here on Passion on CJD.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Clearly, you guys recognize that song, I guess.
It's a cool song.
Yeah, very cool
way to
song.
Go. Way to go.
Andrew figures it all out. No all worries. Right. 514-800 if you have any thoughts or you have questions about props used in play, in BDSM play. And I'm sure, you know, you've heard us talk long enough. What did I say
they're
wrong?
They're not called props. They're called toys.
Toys.
I'm sorry, toys. Okay, so I don't have all
that's
the lingo.
That's why I'm just giving
that's
you the lingo.
That's why you're here.
That's right. So I had to correct you because you keep saying it. Every time you say it, it's like...
I don't ever... Yeah, you just, I make her cringe.
Actually,
it's terrible.
But actually, you're not that wrong because some people will sell these things when they send it to you. On the envelope or the package?
It's always for novelty.
Novelty or props.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, thank you.
But they're not.
But
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not so wrong. Okay. 514-800 if you would like to text in, especially if you have a question. And especially about safety or you're venturing into this world. You want to know a little bit more. About using props and, you know,
about
and experimenting.
Toys.
I mean, toys.
Yeah, and toys.
And
we can give a few tricks here because if you want to make this a good experience and not a bad one, you have to do, you know, you have to do your homework. You have to do a bit of research. Yeah. You have to talk, negotiate.
On your website at BDSM Circle, mm-hmm. do you have pictures of props? Do you, toys? It's going to hit me soon.
We have a glossary and I put from time to time picture of stuff.
Okay.
It's just when I have time and which is not really often
not
right
so
now.
Not so often,
because
yeah.
there's this lady who invites us to all kind of stuff. And
well, I mean, the glossary
me.
Has quite a few yeah. terms
toys.
In it.
But what about the toys? Like, you brought something here. I have no clue what it is. It's a chain with these two rods and two balls on the end of it. And
good luck.
I don't... Okay, what is that?
That actually is a nose leash.
A nose leash. There's a
yes.
nose leash.
And what you do is you put the... And it's stainless steel, so it can be cleaned.
Okay,
you just boil it.
Uh-huh.
So. You boil it. Yeah, and so what you do is you put those two balls up in your nostrils, not very far.
Okay.
Just at, like at the edge.
Uh-huh.
And then you there's like a little sleeve that you slide up the two rods.
Okay.
And then it would pull the balls closer together to basically start to pinch the nose.
Okay, so it so holds it in place.
Yeah, so you do that like in front of the cartilage. Uh-huh. But it's a very humiliating thing. Some people find this very, very exciting.
To be led by the nose.
To be led by the nose.
But to be led, period. But or not to be by led. The nose.
There's a hopelessness. There's like a helplessness.
And there's an ouch factor. No,
doesn't actually hurt.
It could be comfortable if you do it right.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things that it looks really extreme, but really it doesn't hurt. Nah.
Okay, I am not trying it.
No, I don't want you to try it. It's okay.
Just saying.
It just wouldn't be the same ever again for me, thank you.
Right. On the other side of the news, we'll talk about these clampy things sitting in front of me. But anyhow, we'll continue to talk about the toys, the BDSM-specific toys, here on Alternative Sex on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Yeah, let's talk about sex tonight. Let's talk about alternative sex, kink, BDSM, all of that, as we do every month, the first Wednesday. Are you dancing, Kathy?
She's
the first Wednesday, I'm like watching her like rap in the air, you know. The first Wednesday of every month, Alternative Sexuality. Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com join me. They are, I'd say, Montreal's experts, foremost experts in this area.
You're very kind. And it's not the first time I say this. You're our biggest supporter, but we do research too. So
well, that's what I mean. Like, you do your research, you meet enough people, you write quality.
It's interesting to talk to people.
Well, yes, but you educate and you're willing. There's a willingness to do that and to dispel myths and all of that. Well, so, yes, I'm a supporter because I really believe that there needs to be quality education for things. In the same way that you can't go to pornography to get your sex education, it's the same for any other lifestyle choice that you make.
But on this, you have a big win. Now the sex ed is going to be coming back in school.
Well, I'm not going into that discussion tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it's not exactly where I'd like it to be, but whatever.
But at least
it's not good enough.
But education will not be just from the internet anymore. I mean,
no, and that's what we want to fight. Obviously, the reason why we want it in schools is to fight what the kids are learning on the internet. So imagine, and you could tell me more than anybody else, the porn that's BDSM-based porn. How realistic is it for real life? Like, can people learn from that?
It's a pile of crap.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
And it's scary sometimes because you'll see things which are staged, can't be done. Absolutely. We've seen pictures of her, of a woman like that was supposedly hanging by her breasts.
You cannot do that.
And I mean, you're going to rip her breasts off. I mean, I don't mean to be gross here, but really? Like, that's
so
just
how
not,
do they do that?
Tricks.
Well, just, you know, it's maybe it's for, like a second.
Okay.
Right? But, or they'll,
so the extreme stuff you'll find.
Yeah, there's extreme stuff, but there's also just stupid things where, you know, supposedly someone's been in this dungeon for 3 days. Well, you know what? If you really keep someone tied up for 3 days, it's no fun.
Well, it's they like, may die, too, if you don't feed them and give them water.
There's
something about circulation. And,
circulation and moving and pinched nerves. And, I mean, you can really hurt somebody.
Like, people don't do research. A little thing, if you tied up someone, let's say for an hour and a half, when you undo the rope or whatever that held that person, you know, in bondage, you have to be careful when they start moving because their limb are going to hurt because they haven't moved for a while.
Right.
Try the same thing. You go see a movie and you sit down for two hours and a half.
Your butt's numb.
Everything is numb and you're having problem to walk.
Right.
But in bondage, it's worse. So when people start to walk or something like this, they have to be careful. They could fall or they could, you know, but people don't realize these things.
Well, you don't see that in porn.
And you don't see that in porn.
Right.
And one of the worst is, I remember this gentleman, because I'm going to say gentleman, he looked at us and, like we said, we're regular people. He said, you cannot be in BDSM. And, you know, it's just like, Catherine, she's not young, and she's not like, you know, these gorgeous thing, and she's mm-hmm. beautiful. And don't look at me like this, my love. I'm trying to finish my.
That's what he said.
I'm
Catherine.
Trying to finish my topic yes. here.
Not but, what Pierre thinks.
But for him,
I'm not saying.
For him, only beautiful young girl could be mistress.
Really?
And it's like, well, we're what?
That's because, but that's because
right?
of porn.
Because of again. Porn. And uh-huh. the worst is most of these actresses are actresses. They're not submissive or mistress. They put right. on a dress and there's a director right. tell them, do this, say this.
Well, just like many of them perform, don't necessarily like what they're doing.
Exactly.
They do it for the cash or
they
for
do
whatever
it for the money. Exactly. Right. And they fill a need. Yeah. Right?
But, mm-hmm. but then some people create and base their... erotic fetish on this.
Right.
And it's you driving
know,
me nuts.
There's mm-hmm. a way to do the BDSM if you want to have the fantasy mm-hmm. where, you know, you have a basically an on and an off, right? You can't live it 24/7. It's not healthy.
Right.
You'll get people who live master and slave. We know people who've actually, you know, tried it for several months at a time. And
what, 24/7?
Yep. Yes.
Really 24/7.
Yes. Like really.
And things happen at some point.
It's, you know, it's not mentally healthy. There has to be.
I'm glad you brought that up, Kathy.
Yeah. There has to be, you know what? You can only take it as far as, you know, you're still both functioning and everything's good.
You don't want it to take over your life is what you're saying.
No, you want to integrate it into your life so okay. that you still have a good functioning life, that you're still working if you need to work, or going to school and looking after right. your children,
you
looking
decision.
After, you know, real life things. But you know what? Maybe you have little signals.
Yes.
One of our friends does something that's like I find incredibly charming. She's the submissive.
Mm-hmm.
And before they eat, she won't start eating until he says bon appetit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a or the way forward to be submissive.
It's one of the ways, right?
Right.
But I mean, you could do that anywhere. You could be in a restaurant. You can do that. They can do that in front of the children because the children don't know.
They don't know.
I mean, there's things like that. But that's how you actually live real BDSM and integrate it into your life. But you know,
but it's real
but
life.
You don't want to live extreme into your.
You cannot because at some point you have to take decision. How do you dress, or you know, what do you eat? You. Right. Some people
right.
think,
until
well,
it comes to
I'm
the door.
Going to be told what to dress. I'm going to be told what to eat. It's not healthy if you do this for
well, then
all
it,
the
it
time. All,
then it sounds like I have to tell you abuse in many
well,
ways.
Well,
you know,
some people want. I'm very okay.
So I worry about the people who want that, though. Who want to live there, who want to be told what to do every waking moment, 24/7.
Okay. This is where it gets ugly. I'm 52 years old. I know people who want to be the victim. They need to be the victim. And for me, these people, they drive me nuts. Because for me, a good submissive is a strong person. It's a person that says, I want to be submissive for this, and that reason.
Right.
And I want to be submissive to that person, not to the world. And oh, yes.
It is no fun to have a submissive that is submissive to the world and the world can walk on. What right. you want in a submissive as a dominant, and unless you're like a freakhead, is you want someone who's strong that is choosing to submit to you.
Yeah, right.
That's not browbeaten. That isn't that they can't, that they have to.
But they're
it's
usually
that they,
stronger in real life. They're
yes,
in
often,
real life, they're often
very
strong.
Often,
right.
Often they're very successful. They're very strong. I mean, people kind of have this image of this weak, sniveling, you know.
50 Shades of Grey type of garbage tape,
you know. Whereas mm-hmm. they're often quite powerful, very charismatic and
in their day to day life,
yeah, and big yeah. personalities. Often.
When you have somebody that has a big personality, and that person decide or accept to be your submissive, that's like a big win. It's something.
That's a gift.
It's a gift.
So just to go do the flip side, the unhealthy part of that would be somebody who already perceives themselves as a victim.
Yep.
And yeah. wants to continue that in every other
okay.
yeah, part of life.
You need to beat me because I was bad today.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, no, you need to go see a psychiatrist.
Right. I think it's important, and I'm glad you're bringing up the distinction, because sometimes you probably do end up, you know, meeting with people who need psychological
sure.
help. Where it goes a little further and deeper than playing.
I'm very sorry to say, because we have experience, we see a lot of people like this now, and we know what to tell them. You know, it's like, oh, thank you for writing us, and have a good life. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't pursue a discussion with these people because you can recognize some of these things.
Okay.
And but there's a lot of these people out there,
and yeah,
it's
and
very
they're attracted
sad.
To us.
Oh, yeah, you're going to make me swear right now.
No swearing. But they're attracted to you. Why
well, because it's kinky. So okay. If you've got someone you know what? Some sadism, or most people really don't get the sadism or the sexual sadism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a sadist, but I'm certainly not a sadist in other parts of my life. It's very, very compartmentalized.
You're not a sadistic person, is what you're
no,
saying.
No, and right. It has to be in a consenting situation. Then it's fun. It's like fun to be the bully. Right?
Right.
When you know that it's okay.
When you're acting the bully. In real life, you're not a bully.
No.
No
right.
No,
that's
not.
The difference. Exactly.
Of course not. And right. it's fun to be mean sometimes and you know.
I wrote an article about this for the website, and I was talking about masochists, but I describe this as BDSM masochists because they want a certain type of pain in a certain situation. If you were to, I have this beautiful example. This master wanted to, submissive wanted to sing because she was good, but he was tired and he didn't know what to do. And then he had this idea, so he tied up the submissive quickly. And then while she was standing up, crushed her little toe. And he just went, have fun with this. And of course, the submissive, well, left him like, quickly after that.
I'm an idiot.
Well, that's the whole point. People don't get it. A masochist is somebody who wants pain, any type of pain. A real masochist, there's something crossed in the brain and the okay. pain becomes like a joy. A BDSM masochist, everything is about the situation, the mise en scène, mm-hmm. and what we would say in French, the way it's set in the dungeon and in a certain situation. And it's really important. And the type of pain has to be sexual or
right, you're not just talking about any kind of pain.
No, there's also different types of pain. There's like a thuddy pains, or like
stingy.
A stingy pain, and people will like other different types. But eventually, if you can keep the pain level at a certain point, and you stress the body, you can get endorphins that start to happen,
and it becomes enjoyable.
Right. Well, that I guess that's what we're trying to explain here is how that is enjoyable. And some people get it and some people don't. 514-800. If you do have questions for Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle, we welcome them right here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Alternative sexuality tonight on the program. We do this every month with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle.
You need bigger speaker.
We need bigger speaker.
Yeah, so
okay.
Good music.
Anyway, it's too bad. It's quiet tonight. Usually we get a lot more questions. I'm guessing we're answering the questions that are needing to be asked tonight. Maybe that's why.
Anyway, the thing is, and we're talking about that, you know, to turn this into a good experience, to be safe and BDSM, please, people, do the research. Don't take a something like a whip and try it on somebody without knowing what it does and stuff like this. And this is what is our nightmare.
So just can I just say, Catherine brought in a whip today and she hands it to me and she says, be careful, you can hurt yourself.
Actually, we have stories.
So,
in case you... What started like flipping it around or something?
Okay.
In the
and
end
why?
Catches
how painful?
You, right?
How painful is that whip? It's a completely leather
that
thing.
That can do a nice little. Could certainly leave marks easily.
Yeah, this one. Yeah,
that one's a painful one.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What's the difference between this and a flogger?
A flogger has got multi tails. This has this one's called the
snake tail. A single tail.
Well, yep, but it's a snake, mm-hmm. which means that it goes from thicker down to a thinner point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a certain type of, it's more like a whip. A flogger would be like, you know, his cat of nine tails, right? Where it's got mm-hmm. the multi, what they call his falls.
That was in 50 Shades.
Okay, think of like a mop almost,
yes,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And the feeling on the skin is different?
Yeah, and that a mop, I'll describe it as a mop flogger,
mm-hmm.
is going to be usually less intense because you've got...
All the strength of the hit that you're going to do on somebody is going to be
distributed between all the different falls.
Your sentences. Do you ever realize you finish each other's sentences?
Does it work? Okay. On the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm. So we often get, here's a text. I hope this world exposes how ill and dark hallucinations can be. Now, I'm not sure what they're saying here, except that I'm assuming it's something negative towards, how some people might see this as very dark or very sick. Which is not unusual, right? We often
less, believe it or not.
Less and less people believe that.
Thanks to the media in general. Mm-hmm. You go see a movie, you go listen to the music. Actually, your producer right now has all kind of music that talk about stuff like this. Video music, books.
Most people have heard what a safe word is.
It's
jokes all the time. It's everybody, it's the basic stuff. They've heard about it. They realize that lots of people do it. It's still something that's like hee hee hee, titter titter, and taboo. And that's part of the fun for it, to be perfectly honest. For a lot of people, they will have issues that we talk about it frankly. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the big myths, is they'll think that because they like taboo, they don't want to negotiate beforehand. And they think this will somehow spoil the surprise or spoil the scene. Well, she doesn't need, I'm planning to spank her. Well, you know what? You should ask her how she's feeling. Back problems.
I think it has to be very clear that whatever goes on is very consensual.
Yeah, but some people don't want to even have a safe word, I have a huge problem.
Consent.
Yeah.
And they assume that it's going to be role-playing, that it's giving consent for all sorts of things.
We may have to explain something here. The role-playing is, of course, the people that are with us are not real slaves, so that's the role play.
Right.
But when they're at our place, we make a lot of effort to make them feel like they serve us, we own them. This is what they want to feel.
But you're playing. Role play.
It's an agreed upon.
Well, it's a script in a way.
Well, yes and no. It's an agreed upon exchange of power. You're always going to have in one relationship someone who's more dominant than another,
mm-hmm.
be it with your friends or whatever.
Right.
Maybe one's always making the things, let's go out.
Right.
It's the same thing. We this is just more of a formal
and sexual.
Sexual. For some people, they do BDSM sex.
Yeah, some people just want to come and clean the house.
Okay, well, that's a good point, too, that there's BDSM without sex. Jimmy on the line. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I'm wondering, what happened to Le Bal Erotique?
What do you mean, what happened to it? It was on Saturday night.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay, I went to the one event about 2 years ago. I won tickets on your show.
Okay.
It was my first introduction into this scene.
What did you think?
But it wasn't, you're right. At the Ballet Erotique, they always have one section where they have more of the...
dungeon type of thing?
It's not really a dungeon, but what did you... Do you remember what you saw there?
It was at L'Auberge Saint-Gabriel in Montreal.
That's right. And it was in the basement, that area.
Yeah, and I guess it never happened there again?
No, it was at on Saturdays, it was at Bain Mathieu, which is like an old bathhouse that was converted to...
Where about?
It was somewhere in the East End, in the village,
It's more in Hochelaga Maisonneuve.
Oh, okay. I don't know the city that well, but it's around there.
I won tickets, and I like to tell people I went to the event as an investigative reporter.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I tell them.
That's what I tell them. You're stealing my line.
Yeah, well, I wrote back to you about the experience, but I never got a reply from you. But
I'm sorry.
But I had wished you had offered tickets again. I enjoyed it. It was an eye-opening event.
It was. I love to go because I'm a people watcher. That's what I do. I love to observe.
In fact, you asked about me.
Oh, see? There you go.
He said, did he come with the tickets? The guy that won the tickets?
Jimmy, too bad. Well, you know, there's always next year. We'll make sure we give away some more tickets.
Oh, so it's passé. It's over.
Well, it was on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think tonight is
it
the
happened.
Last night.
No, like the Ballet Erotique was Saturday night.
Yeah. Oh, is there a fashion show thing going on?
Yes, the stripped fashion show, the naked fashion show you're talking about.
Yeah, when's that?
That's October 1st. Look it up, shnq.ca. All right?
Fun talking to you.
As an investigative reporter. Come on down.
Thank you.
Take care, Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll wrap it up in just a few moments with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
He really picks the good music. I'm impressed. Andrew. Way to go. I think I think he must do some
his own research.
Is he blushing? I'm kidding. I'm not outing you. I promise. That's not what this is about.
Be proud of who you are.
We are talking BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism. We're talking about not props, toys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All kinds of stuff. And one of the things you brought, can I just ask you what this is? There's a chain, links, and on either side they look like buckles, but there's screws and clamps. Please do not tell me this goes on nipples. I will be very upset. And this is like, ouchie.
Okay, we won't.
That's where it goes. Are you serious?
It can go in multiple places, actually.
But
because
it's a nipple
clamp. You notice, those are very heavy, okay? So there is a weight
factor.
Are. However, the screws are because you can open it all the way up, then you put it on, and then you slowly tighten just until usually it won't fall off.
Just tell me where this goes. Where do you usually put this?
It's a nipple clamp.
These are nipple clamps. This is what it is.
Or balls.
You would put testicles in here.
Oh, for sure.
You put them on the lips of a vagina too.
On a vagina you could do it.
These are very hard.
But the screw prevent you to
metal.
Close.
But the screw
stop to close it, so it could be actually.
You see, this is the thing.
I don't know about that.
Other people will use clamps that they don't look
this
like.
This hurts
anything.
My finger.
Well,
that's because you haven't adjusted the screw.
Anyway,
trust me.
There are all clearly many things eye-opening, many things I've never seen in real life. But
if you're gonna buy nipple clamps, make sure they're adjustable for the strength of the hold or the grip. Don't just go get the cloverleaf ones, which don't look extreme. People will buy them, but stay away from those ones at first.
Don't some people just buy clothespins?
Actually, the cheapest one, but you can do all kinds of
clothespins. Absolutely,
you would be amazed what you can do with clothespin.
I'm sure I would be amazed.
Zippers.
Okay, you see, these are things that make me like oof, cringe.
Cool.
Oh, and people just love it.
You want to talk more about
it? You see how there's something for everyone. So it might make me cringe and somebody else excited. That's the beauty of sexuality and the variation in what turns people on. There's so much variation.
And consenting sex is consenting sex.
And that's the most important. So why don't we end on that? Consent is where it's at.
Please, consent.
Guys, thank you so much for being
here.
Well, it's fun. Yeah, it's always fun talking to
you. When's the next party?
Let's wait on that for a bit. Thanks to Andrew Brennan in Master Control. News coming up next, followed by Joey Elias and The Comedy Show. Have a wonderful rest of the evening. And please remember, life is short, so do take the time to smell the flowers and indulge your passions.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.